Hi, this is Shaman Sister Sessions. I'm Catherine Bird, and I'm here with Michelle Hawk. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
And this is episode 121. Today, we are going to be talking about narcissism, gaslighting, abuse, cult-like scenarios in our spiritual and coaching communities. And you know, honestly, we could probably sit here, we could do like a telethon or something, where we had people calling in and we had like, we're going to go for 24 hours straight to raise money for something because there's so much to be said here. So, we're going to try not to go for the next 24 hours and to give you some important considerations and, tools and understanding about this reality in our communities. And Michelle and I have both been involved in spiritual communities, medicine work, different kinds of ceremonial communities, new age sort of kind of stuff, all kinds of things, right? And we've been supporting people for a long time who are also involved in these communities. And so we've seen the good, the bad, and the otherwise, and we've both experienced things that have been, I would say I've definitely heard things and experienced things that are shocking, you would never expect. So especially for those of you who are new to coaching, to spiritual communities, to group programs, to retreats, to all of these things, to it's really important to go in with your eyes open, because in these spaces, we so want to belong. We want to trust. We want our heart to remain open. We have the best of intentions. We want to grow, to develop, to heal, to evolve our consciousness and to be spiritual and loving and kind. And in things happen. So we want to talk about where and why some of these things happen.
Things happen. That's, yeah. I mean, that's a little bit of an understatement. Very first and foremost, I mean, this hopefully isn't news to you, but in case it is news, please let me be the bearer of unfortunate news. The spiritual and coaching community has shitty people too. Just like every other community, just like every other part of society, there are absolutely manipulative, sociopathic, narcissist abusers who exist within the spiritual coaching, personal development community. And I totally get, I 100% get the temptation to believe or the desire to wish the best of people who are supposedly, you know, working with love and light and supposedly, you know, using these techniques for healing and say, look like they're doing things that, you know, that look like they should be doing, right? Like, oh, they're, you know, they're going to all these events and they know all these people and everyone seems to like them and they have a beautiful website and they train other coaches. Oh, well, they must be good if they're in this community and they have all of these references and they have this training course and this program where all these people know them and seem to approve them, right? These people are really, really good at hiding in plain sight. They are really good at putting on a face to make themselves look well-liked and well-accepted. They are really good at manipulating people to keep their image looking pristine or looking a certain way. So please know that I promise you, they are there. They are really good at manipulating and they're really good at staying in that community. So don't let this scare you. Not everyone is shitty. Absolutely not. There are good, integrous, well-meaning, grounded, healthy people in the spiritual and coaching community too. They are there. And we're going to walk you through how to spot some of these differences, how to spot red flags, questions to ask if you're looking at joining a course or training program, things to look for that can indicate either this person is more likely to be a safe person or this person's more likely to be an unsafe person, and tools to keep yourself safe and to help other people stay safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've actually done some episodes on this before. I know we did like predators in the spiritual community, but we're revisiting this. And one of the reasons we're revisiting this is because I've had some clients come to me with some pretty extreme issues from a specific couple who are doing coaching certification. The man is, I guess, randomly serving medicine to women that he feels that he should be able to touch and have sex with inappropriately. And so as I've been digging deeper and deeper into the strategies that they're using, the words that they're using, the techniques that they're using, the ways that they interact with people, it's just like, okay, we have to revisit this again because, people are getting hurt. Yeah. And like you said, these people can go on for years and years and years. And even if you look at, watch some of these documentaries out there. There's been a lot of really good documentaries that have come out in the last few years about different kinds of cults and gurus and stuff. And you'll see, wow, you know, this guy operated for 40 years hurting people before the first people actually came forward. Now, I think fortunately, people do feel more empowered now. I think that for a long time, especially for women, the desire not to come out, not to admit that something's happened, the shame, the internalized shame, the self-judgment that, oh, I should have known better, or it was my fault, has been so strong. And it is still that way, where most people who experience harm will not come forward. So if you're struggling right now, if you've had an experience, sometimes maybe you had an experience years ago with something like this, and it still is bringing up pain, you're still struggling with it, just know that a lot of people have gone through this all throughout the spectrum of what we would consider some kind of abuse, manipulation, coercion, toxic behavior, harm, and you're not alone. And you have a right to tell your story. You have a right to get support. There are a lot of practitioners who really care about this, who want to support you. And so if you're still struggling with this, it is really important to be able to speak your truth and tell your story at least to one person. And usually once you start telling that story to one person, you realize what you've been through, it really is very wrong. And you stop internalizing that shame and judgment, and you can start to free yourself.
Yeah, that's super important. And now I think, looking at like some of the very long operating abuser cult sort of scenarios, right? Like there was kind of a different culture around it. And now we've had the Me Too movement, and now we have social media, and now there's a lot more readily accessible support mechanisms. But that's that internalizing the shame and internalizing the feelings around, I messed up, I was wrong, I don't want to rock the boat, did I make it up, was it really as bad as I think it was? Or even just being so dissociated from your body, dissociated from your, go back to our last episode and look at trusting yourself, right? Like being so removed from your own internal feedback mechanisms that you can't even figure out that something bad happened, right? Like that's a very real thing too. And so again, even just talking with one person will help you kind of come back to regulation to be able to To get remove that out of the body, to seek help, to look for resources, to communicate to someone. Even if you don't know how to go about helping yourself, you can start asking for support, and somebody who's not in the situation, right? Someone who is not in a current state of trauma can help you re-regulate yourself, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're in trauma, like, you shouldn't have to, right? And it's okay to not know how to help yourself, but that's why there are people out there whose job it is to help you find resources, to help you take care of yourself, to help you come back to safety.
Yeah. And even seeing, just, you know, this week, as things have sort of come to a head specifically, you know, seeing someone who really had kept secret about this for 3 years and someone who kept secret about this for a year, and them telling the story, having that story validated and understood, doing healing work around it, and then getting to connect with other people who were also having stories. And then just my experience of seeing them, the lightness come into them. Like you can feel an energetic shift in their empowerment and their sense of freedom. Very quickly, actually. So there's a tendency to keep this stuff secret. There's a tendency not to tell. That is what they are counting on, and what they have built
the abusers,
yeah, into their systems of teaching to make you feel like that's the right choice. So it can be very liberating just to begin the conversation with someone that you trust.
Yeah, the these people, I don't know, where do we want to go from here? There's so many facets we can consider. What's the next piece?
Well, you know, I think that there is number one, to have the awareness that this is something that exists, and that if you don't, I think this is another piece that has a connection into that shame, that sometimes that internalized shame that we have, is that if you don't catch it, it doesn't mean that you're not intuitive or sensitive or smart or aware or anything, right? I personally know so many people who have been in some sort form of community that, you know, they really gave a lot to and showed up with their full open heart and ended up feeling abused in some way, and have had to go through a lot of healing to process that. And these are people who are highly intelligent, highly educated, you know, solid people. And, you know, I've seen it in myself where it's like, well, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt. You want to believe them. You don't want to think that someone is actually just completely to your face lying to you.
Yeah.
You want to experience and feel the love that they're offering you, because oftentimes this could, you know, this is a thing. Oftentimes these people are very good at giving love. They're very good at love bombing you and feeding you, right? It's part of that grooming process. And so one of the things that we have to be aware of is that there is a grooming process that goes on a lot of times, where there's this love bombing and appreciation. They see your potential. They see that you are special. They see that you are a healer, a channel, a mystic. They see something in you that is very special. And we all want to feel special, and we all are special. And probably they are picking things up in you that's the truth, right? You are a healer. You are a channel. You are a being of light. It's true.
You know, let's also remember that narcissists and sociopaths and manipulators and abusers are really good at identifying people who are open to that, right? And I say this, like, let me, you know, be totally clear. I think I talked about this in our Predators in the Spiritual Community episode, you know, from previously, like I am one of those people that Kat was talking about, if I say so myself, like I am wildly intelligent and empathic and intuitive and smart and grounded. And, you know, I have, you know, a loving family, and I have, you know, so many resources, and I trust myself now more than ever before. And yet I still ended up in a really shitty situation with a legit narcissistic sociopath who manipulated and abused me within the context of a conscious community that I was relatively new to. So, you know, and I consider myself a very low risk person for that type of thing to happen. And now that it has happened, like, it's never going to happen again, because I know what to look for. But at the time, and this was in 2013, right? So I was in a different place in my life. I was new to this community, right? Like, we want to believe that, oh, I found this, you know, this particular group of people, and here's this really attractive person who is like showing an interest in me, and everyone seems to like him. And, you know, they're really, really good at identifying people who are open to that manipulation and flattery. They are. And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong. It certainly doesn't mean there was anything wrong with me. I know there's nothing wrong with me. But, and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you if this happened to you, not at all. It means that something in their psyche is hardwired to look for people who are open, people who are receptive, people who, for whatever reason, are more likely to be susceptible to their variety of manipulation. Mm-hmm. And you can look, there's plenty of articles out there about like the narcissist empath dynamic, right? So it is a well-documented phenomenon. And they do use that, you know, Kat, like you're talking about, like pulling out pieces, you know, maybe if you feel kind of unseen, or they're saying like, wow, that sounds like a really amazing mission. I want to support you. How can I help you? I believe in you. Right. So like creating a sense of almost like debt or obligation is also part of this grooming process. So the love bombing, yes, of like, you're amazing. You're so beautiful. You're so smart. I love this mission. And then positioning themselves in a role to be helpful or to create obligation, where it's like, oh, well, I helped you do this thing, right? So now you owe me. Even if they're not explicitly saying that, that's part of the dynamic of putting themselves in like a power or resourced position to then create a either explicit or an implicit sense of debt or obligation.
Yeah. And then one of the reasons that this goes over so well in spiritual communities is because there is a lot of education and tools in our communities that lends itself to manipulating people. And so there's things like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, hypnotherapy, inducing trance states, getting people to shift their consciousness through practices, doing things, you know, there are a lot of organizations where you'll go to a retreat or something and a training, and they will keep you with very little sleep, very little food, not letting you go to the bathroom, doing practices for hours and hours and hours until you're sort of exhausting your system. This is mind control technique. You know, this is the same thing that they would do to, you know, a prisoner of war.
Right. Or in the military, right? This is actually what they do to people in the military, right?
Exactly. And it is,
you know, let's remember that our industry, right? It is an industry. I want to use that word very consciously. Like, people are making fuck tons of money doing this work, altering consciousness. Mm-hmm. That is really the basis of our work and our industry, is to alter consciousness. And let's remember that consciousness can be altered in any way at all. Right? Mm-hmm. Any way that, you know, someone wants to alter their own consciousness, or any way that a non-integrous practitioner wants to manipulate or create an alteration in the consciousness of their client, right? And so it is inherently vulnerable to step into a container with a practitioner inherently, right? Because you are placing your consciousness in their care.
Yeah.
And that, like, any practitioner who is in their heart and in integrity, like, will hold that with utmost reverence and respect.
Right.
Because they are part, you are inviting them into your alteration of consciousness. And that is fucking vulnerable.
Right. But that requires of the practitioner to be very self-reflective. It requires that ability to look at ourselves, to look at our shadows, to look at our wounds, to look at ourselves and look at ourselves and look at ourselves. Now, someone who has narcissistic tendencies, depending on where they are in the spectrum, and remember, there's a huge spectrum of narcissism and sociopathic behavior, and these people actually don't have that ability. They can't look in that direction. They're only looking at you. And so then they gain these tools. And, you know, I was listening to a training video that this couple had put out to their people who they were training to be coaches. And in the training video, they were being told that people who are coming to you for coaching, they're coming for manipulation, for extreme manipulation, that you are here to manipulate them. And we're going to teach you the tools to manipulate them. And I was like, I mean, everything in my, when I heard this, I was just so, I was so disappointed, so upset. And it's like, wow, like they're giving themselves away right now, but still the people following them can't see that.
Yeah.
And so it is really easy. You know, we are easily manipulated. Very easily manipulated. There's lots of studies. There's lots of different ways that they've been able to prove that a human mind can be manipulated pretty quickly and pretty extensively. And we can end up doing things that we would never consider ourselves capable of doing. And so this is what they're doing. It's just manipulation and grooming. And, you know, slowly pulling you into this web that you don't know how to extract yourself from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I just hear what, and, you know, Kat told me this the other day when she watched the video and is like, it's just evil. It's so evil. Right. Yeah. You know, and we look at, I don't know, I just feel very activated right now in how shitty that is. But, you know, like, as I'm like, let's keep it useful, Michelle. keep it helpful. Okay, great. So with that, like, these are some, like, very, very distorted examples of people using practices. And I want to remind you, like, practices like NLP are not inherently bad. Practices like using medicine work, not inherently bad. None of these tools are inherently bad. Right? They're just like any other tools, just like you could pick up a hammer and use it to build a house, or you could pick up a hammer and crack somebody's skull, right? Like, the tool itself is not bad. It is the way in which the tool is being exercised, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, they're saying people are coming to you because they secretly want to be manipulated. So you, as their coach, we're giving you tools to manipulate them. Right? Like, of course, that is a distorted, like, really unhealthy, super out of integrity use of these tools. But, you know, people who are coming into this field, I don't want that to inherently discourage you of, like,
right.
If you're coming in to seek help from a practitioner because you want to alter your consciousness, that's a good thing. Right? Like, that is a beautiful thing. You're coming because you're looking for help. You're saying, I really want to become more loving toward myself and my family. I really want to support my soul work and my purpose in the world. I want to change the way that I think about myself and about the world so that I can embody more sovereignty and peace and love and compassion and generosity and prosperity for the benefit of all beings. That's beautiful. That's a good thing. And some of these tools that we're using to alter our consciousness, again, you Kat, like you're saying, like, it just depends on the filter, and it depends on the container that you're in and working in. So, I mean, let's look for, like, what are red flags? How do we spot red flags? How do we tell the difference between a healthy integrous practitioner and an unhealthy, shitty, evil practitioner? Right. Let's look for what are you posted, actually. What was it? A non-disparagement clause?
They had put this non-disparagement clause that basically said you could never say anything to anyone in any form that was bad about them at all, ever. You know, that so you could never leave a bad review, you could never send an email to a friend, you could never have a conversation about them that was like that. It's like, no, like, you should be able to leave a bad review. You shouldn't be able to disparage someone and say they didn't say untrue things. That wasn't in the clause. The clause was not, you can't say untrue things about us. It was, you can't say anything bad about us. Check your contracts. Check the contract before you go. What does the contract say? Really read this stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
And one of the big ones, and so one of the big teachings of these people is that the body, mind, and emotions are, you know, noisy children that should be stuffed in the back seat and ignored, and that only spirit should be driving. So any teachings that are telling you to ignore your body, to ignore your mind, to ignore your emotions, those are setting you up to cut away your protection. And if you go to our last episode about trust, the first thing we have to do in learning to trust ourselves is to listen to ourselves, to listen to our body. Because at this point, then, if they go, spirit needs to be guiding you 100%, there's a very, very short, tiny little leap between spirit needs to be guiding you 100% and I'm the translator of spirit.
Well, this is what religions have been doing for thousands of years, right? Like, look at, you know, the Catholic Church is a perfect example of that, where, your life, like your, you know, your salvation depends upon listening to the word of God. And I, as the priest, am the intermediary between you and God. So you have to do what I say, right? Like, this is very classic manipulation technique. It's very, very well established that it works. You know, it's been around in the church for thousands and thousands of years, right? So yeah, super big red flag. Any practitioner who's telling you to not listen to your body, to not listen to your emotions. There's also, what is that? What's the school stoicism? I mean, this isn't specific to a particular practitioner, but I have a huge problem with stoicism for that reason, right? Yeah. And all of the, yeah, because it's telling you to, like, just shut down all of your feelings and to just, like, push through it. And it's very cerebral, right? So I would say, I would add in that category any practice or any practitioner that is telling you to ignore or shut out your body wisdom or any part of your wisdom, right? Like, we are holistic in our wisdom. And really, ideally, a practitioner that is healthy and is grounded and is integrous will be supporting you and encouraging you in accessing all parts of your wisdom, because it's all valuable information. And ultimately it gives you a clearer picture of, mm-hmm. of your own state of being, of your inner reality and the feedback in your external reality, right? Like, you can't cut off one of these sources of information and expect to still have good information. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the more they're telling you to know, put that away, stuff that away, ignore that, then that's setting you up to be vulnerable in a bad way.
Yeah. And, you know, in this, there's the, even this, like, spiritual, you know, this, like, I'm translating for spirit. I'm talking to your guides. It's like, look, I can talk, you know, I talk to guides. It's like, that's something Michelle and I do. You know, the truth is, if I wanted to manipulate you and harm you, I totally could if I was that person, because I know what all of this stuff looks like. And I know how to activate energetic power in my body that would make you feel something. So it really does come back to who this person is, and they are good at hiding. You know, one of the things that that this person, because I met this man years ago and was his friend for a short period of time. And one of the first things he did was that he before we met, he ran my human design chart. And then when we got together for lunch, he did this, you know, sort of fake kind of googly goo, speaking in tongues and waving his fingers about, and was like channeling this wisdom about me. And basically, I didn't know anything about human design at the time. And now, and then afterwards, after I, you know, had gotten some readings and stuff, I was like, oh, no, he was just reading my chart, you know, and pretending like it meant something. And so what he was doing in that moment, he was creating a false sense of intimacy with me. He was grooming me, you know, and then he would do things like he would message me and say, oh, where were you just now in spirit? And I'd be like, right the fuck here. And, you know, he'd be like, oh, you came to me in my meditation and it was so powerful. And it was this wave of, you know, I have these messages from him that I was looking at recently from years ago. And I'm like, okay, I guess, you know, but I knew, I was like, well, I wasn't thinking about him. I was not in meditation. I was not trying to do anything. But because there was this sense of certainty, excitement, passion from him, there was even that little bit of question within myself of like, well, I mean, I guess that could be what was going on, I guess. You know, like, those were these grooming moments where he was seeking to create an intimacy with me that there was no reason for. Yeah. You know, he wanted to meditate with me. Oh, I really want to meditate with you. I'm like, cool. I like to meditate. Let's meditate. But then he wanted to be touching me at the same time, right? He wanted to create this intimacy that was connected to my spiritual practice, because my spiritual practice is core essence of who I am. So now he's infiltrated my spiritual practice. Very sneaky. It's genius, really.
Mm-hmm. it's so gross. It's so gross, right? So those are all red flags, right?
Those are some of the red flags, right?
All of the red flags, but those are all red flags.
Yeah.
You know, and yet let's look at, I guess the, it's so funny because like I hear all of that and I'm like, well, there are healthy versions of all of those pieces too, right? Is what makes it so fucking difficult, right? Right. So if you're, you know, seeking, say for example, you're interviewing a practitioner, you have a discovery session or a consult or whatever with a new practitioner, and they look at your chart. Okay, well, there could be so many reasons why they look at your chart, right? Maybe they're an astrologer, maybe. And I only look at people's charts when I've been working with them for a while. I don't do that early on unless it's a, see, I say that, and yet something that I'm looking at doing in the future is bringing in the Bahinian star work. So at some point I could be offering people's chart readings.
And I do know people who, like, from the moment that they, you know, sign a contract with someone, you know, they're really human design people or astrology people or jinky people, and they do definitely run that chart. And then they're looking at, you know, I have our friend Orion really looks at strategy for your business based on your human design. Right. So it's like, he's got to run your chart in order to like help you, but it's different, right? But it's completely above board. He is telling you, I am going to run your human design, and he's showing you, here's your human design, and here's the things that, you know, we're learning from this together.
And walk through it in a way of practical application. Yeah. Orion did that for me. It was great. A little plug for that. And
Orion Ohev.
But the difference
is Orion
Ohev, O-H-E-V. And the difference The difference, though, is the purpose to which that is being used, right? And, so running your chart for the intention of, oh, that means like I know something about you, very different from let's look at your chart together and I can help empower you with this knowledge. Super different, right? Again, same with let's meditate together. Okay, let's meditate together to create this sense of intimacy versus let's meditate together so that I can support you in the technical aspects of this particular practice. And so you can go off and feel empowered and do it on your own as part of your integration practice. Completely different, right? Or the whole like, oh, you came to me in a vision. That's just projection. That's just stupid, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like that, yeah.
Another red flag that's really important to look out for is people who are seeking to distance you from your healthy relationships, your family, your friends, your spouse. You know, yes, if someone can definitely support you through if you are in an abusive relationship, if you are confronting your parents about something that happened, if you like really, you know, that this is something that you're working on, you can get support from a practitioner in helping you with that. But if someone is claiming that your partner is toxic and, you know, you're not really sure why, if they're encouraging you to leave someone, you don't know why, they're encouraging you to, you know, get rid of your friends and family and trust them or trust their community more than, you know, where you've come from. If someone tells you that they think based on the way you look or the weight that you have or, you know, something, it's minor in your personality, that you've been sexually abused by your father, that's serious, right? Like that's something where they're starting to plant that seed of doubt in your consciousness. And, you know, it's been very proven that we can plant false memories in people, mm-hmm. and we can make them believe things about themselves. Because if I can convince you that you've been sexually abused and you need to get rid of your family, number one, I just put you way over here and I have more power over you chart. And I can now be the one who's going to save you. I can be the one who's going to support you through this process. If you
simultaneously distancing them from other people who might call out what you're doing and keep them from being in your power.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody has a problem with this practitioner and then that practitioner is like, oh, well, you need to cut that person out. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
This is not to say that in process of working with a practitioner that you might not uncover memories that have been repressed and have realizations about something that happened to you in the past. That happens. But you want to be aware when something is truly authentically coming from inside of you and when something is being suggested to you.
Yeah. I would add in if it seems like they have an agenda about your process, right? Like, and I mean, I have supported clients in going through divorces and separations. I have supported clients mm-hmm. in setting up boundaries with toxic family members. And I have supported clients with ending relationships, right? Like I have helped people in all of that. And it was 100% them initiating that, asking for my help, me offering tools, and checking in with them and reflecting back to them, this is what I'm hearing and what you're saying. Here is a tool that we can practice together so you can see how this feels when you introduce this tool into your relationship. Does this feel healthy? Does this feel unhealthy? Does this feel like it gives you more space and sovereignty and freedom? Okay, if you're wanting to move ahead with this, here, I'm here to support you. Here are additional resources, right? Referring to resources of people who work in abuse, work in trauma with like legal resources, right? Again, it's not only me saying, I will help you get divorced, right? That's super shady, right? It's always it's a collaborative process. And any practitioner who seems overly invested in helping you end relationships or make space or, oh, that friend sounds really, you know, projecting things onto what you're describing that you didn't actually say, that's also a red flag across the board, not just in terms of relationships, but if they're projecting or putting words in your mouth or, and which is different from, and it's so funny because like, I'll have a client like spew information at me for a few minutes and then I'll say, okay, here's what I'm hearing. And I'll say it in two sentences using words that they did not say, but they're like, oh my gosh, thank you. That's so perfect. So clear. That's the thing. Right. So that is also part of the job of like, distilling what
that's active saying. Listening. That's, right. That's reflection, right? Which is a tool that we use to help people find clarity.
But it's different from planting seeds. Here's an idea that isn't actually yours, but I'm going to put it in what you're saying so that you adopt it and it kind of grows insidiously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also red flags for sure. so many
red flags.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that, and this is something that I've heard from about this couple, and also that I've heard and it's seen in other practitioners, where there's a group to come together for a retreat or whatever, and it's almost like, you know, there's this. So when we're going through transformation, we often break down. We often, you know, we have emotional breakdown where we releasing, crying, where we have realizations, we are moving energy, we're doing these things. And so there is an amount of deconstruction in the process of transformation. But if one of the core principles is we're going to break you, you might want to watch out, because that could just be a form of re-traumatizing or initial trauma that they're putting you through in order to break you. So they might talk a lot about breaking your ego and how you need to break your ego, or this is just your daddy issues coming up again, or this is just your issue with this, or this is whenever you're trying to like say, hey, what you're doing doesn't feel good to me. And then they're like, put it back on you. Well, this is just you not accepting responsibility for yourself, or this is you being in your trauma, or, you know, because they're not taking any responsibility for themselves. So they're trying to break you, and they can use things like that. We're going to, you know, you have to break your ego. You know, we have to, you know, destroy this part of you. And sometimes that's being used as just a way to destroy your will, right? They're trying to break your will, your ability to talk back, to state your, you know, needs and desires. And in a group situation, it can look like, and you might not experience it, you might see someone else go through it where it's like they're just getting hammered and they're being, you know, like in a group where their darkest stuff is not coming from them. It's coming from the facilitator, and that facilitator is like being really cruel to them and unnecessarily cruel, making them just like sobbing and crying and breaking down and completely unable to manage themselves, and putting them into a, you know, throwing their nervous system into a traumatized experience, and then telling them that they're doing it for their own good. That's abusive. That's not actually healing. It can look like healing because it's very dramatic and intense and you are feeling it and it's very emotional, but generally that's not the way to help somebody, you know, like it's kind of a messy place, right? Because it's like people break down, people have a hard time. You need to be able to call somebody on their shit and be like, yeah. Well, you know, this is a blind spot that you have.
Right.
And also there's something else. And I've seen it. Have you seen this, Michelle, in a group? Cause I've seen this where certain practitioners, that's almost like they have it out for somebody and they're just like, just say mean things to them and pick on them and pick on them until they break.
I don't go to those kinds of events. So I haven't actually seen that in person, but I have, an ex of mine actually went and did a training with, should I say his name? I don't know. He's like Yeah, why not? Okay.
I
No.
don't care.
Don't
I don't
care.
care.
Okay, so training with the facility, and so she told me about this, right? And as she's telling me about this, I'm like, that's super fucked up. And it was four white dudes who were facilitating this training, one of whom was JP Sears, the ultra spiritual dude with the red hair, right? And what she described is some of this that was going on, of like breaking people down and really, like pushing, like deliberately trying to trigger people. And she described the incident of a woman had a total breakdown. They actually had to evac her out because she went into such a traumatized breakdown. And she was like, I could hear her screaming and screaming and screaming for hours, like horrible, horrible breakdown. So I have heard about this of,
Yeah.
secondhand. I know it's a thing. And it's so like you said, yes, sometimes people have breakdowns, but there's a difference between an authentic, organic breakdown. And again, ego death is a thing, right? Like deconstructing the ego is also totally a thing in spiritual practice and in healing, and people confronting their traumas and having triggered experiences, totally a thing. But there's a difference between that happening organically in a safe and supportive environment where the practitioner is holding them and keeping them secure within a container that they can be free and safe to do that and have an experience, versus the practitioner pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing until someone snaps and then has to get medevaced out of a training, right? Like that is super irresponsible and abusive, right? So again, it's like it's slightly tricky territory because of the nature of this work, and yet the way in which people are approaching it is, can be really toxic and dangerous, honestly.
Well, and what I've seen is that oftentimes, when that's happening, it's like they have a sixth sense. It's sort of like they talk about how an abuser can walk into a room and be like, oh, that's the person who's going to let me abuse them. Like they have this sixth sense of being like, oh, like I can break that person. And I think that they get a sick, joy out of seeing someone hurting really badly. And maybe that's some of the draw to this work,
I don't know certainly, but that might be some of the draw, but it also like it's about positioning themselves as ultimate power and authority for this person, right? Because then, like you said earlier, then they are also there to help the person rebuild and stand back up and say, okay, now that you have broken, right? Like let's look at the military does this, right? They break people. So that's even their slogan, right? Is we break you down so we can build you back up stronger than ever before, right? Like I have definitely heard that somewhere. And it's the purpose of like we are deconstructing you so that when you are reformed, when you are reborn, you are blueprinted on me and I can rebuild you however I want you to be. Right. So they're positioning themselves as this supreme power and authority, and then getting to essentially shape this new psyche, this new consciousness, according to their pattern, their will, and their desire, however they fucking want. Right. Which then puts them in an even closer position of intimacy, where then all of a sudden that person, as long as they're in that trigger, or not trigger space, but as long as they're in the space of being within this close contact with the abuser, it can look like someone saying, oh, you saved me. You helped put me back together. You see me for who I really am. I owe it all to you. Right. And that's, any practitioner, I'm always, whenever my clients are saying, oh my gosh, Michelle, you did so amazing. You saved me. You helped me with this. I always put it back to them and say, no, that was you. I showed you some tools, but you doing that was 100% you. That is you supporting yourself, moving yourself through this process. I'm just standing next to you and helping show you the next step. That's it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, any practitioner taking responsibility for your success or your healing is not appropriate, and it's not
Right.
healthy.
And, you know, some of this is like, you know, really being actually trauma informed and working in that way, right? Because there's a difference between, you know, leading someone through a breakdown that's helping them have a breakthrough about themselves and helping them like come into a very regulated, like empowered place, and shooting their nervous system so far into trauma response and not working with them in the tools of regulation to help them to, you know, be able to regulate and come to a realization. I mean, if you don't come to a realization and you haven't really had a breakthrough, you've just had a breakdown. Yeah. And, but yeah, it's tricky. So I'm hoping that you're maybe going to think about the difference there, of what that looks like. And also, because so many people have so many different backgrounds and different trauma experiences from the past, it's a subtle art to work with people's trauma.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are working deeply into people's trauma, especially in group situations where they're not having a lot of contact with them, or they don't know them very well, and they don't know their background, they don't know their history, they don't know their mental health history. And so they're putting them in a place where there could be harm, right? Yeah. So it's like, they might not know you. They might not know that you have a mental health, considerations.
Yeah. A lot of people say they're trauma informed, but they're actually not. Like, let's also just, and I mean, that's, you know, that's just irresponsible. Even if the person is not like bad intentioned, right? There's a difference between like using the words trauma informed and then actually implementing practices, considerations, techniques to support the well-being of your clients, right? So just because someone says they're trauma informed doesn't mean they are. I want to throw in probably a pretty obvious red flag, but yet still something that I think deserves to be in here, is like if a teacher, practitioner, coach, etc. is asking for or trying to assert control over your finances in some way. Right. So like whether, you know, outside of like, okay, you're paying for sessions, you're paying for mentorship. Okay. Then all of a sudden there's like all these other things coming up that they want you to pay for, or they're saying actually, it changed and now you're adding in this thing and it's this much, or like, you know, trying to get you to invest with them, or trying to get you to sell your house and hand over resources, or like, you know, it ends up being like people, and, you know, Kat and I both know people who have had this happen, right? Where they end up like forking over boatloads of money to organizations or cults, or, you know, that turn out to be cults, right? Or churches or whatever, because they're like supporting the mission of the organization, or they're supporting this practitioner or teacher that they believe in. And then all of a sudden they've signed over all this money and all these resources to this person, and they never see it again.
Right. So, or it's to their own detriment, right? They're struggling to survive, and they would have been fine if they hadn't given all this money away.
Beautiful steps before that.
Right? There's a lot of steps before that, right? Where they've been grooming you to that point, but it also can just seem like, oh, well, they're just asking for, you know, this, and because they want to be near me, because they love me, right?
Yeah. For other types of favors outside of a professional relationship or having,
can you watch my kids? Can you come over and, you know, help me do my billing or paperwork? Or, you know, it's like, yeah, sometimes you're involved with a community or church or something like that, and you want to give some hours of your time, but sometimes that's not appropriate. And, you know, you're paying this person and then they want you to do all this extra stuff. I want to share one that's a red flag we've never said on anything before, but like, pay attention to the way they treat people that are less powerful than them in general. Like, pay attention to the way they talk to or treat their nanny, their bookkeeper, their chef, their driver, their massage therapist that comes in to, you know, do something, like anybody who is like what they would consider less powerful than them, pay attention. What are the words they use, the tone of voice? How do they treat them? Do they pay people properly? Do they pay them well enough, a living wage? Are they trying to extract from, say you go on a retreat in Bali or, you know, wherever, South America or something, does it feel like they're trying to extract from the local people and get as much as they can for as little as they can? You know, are their assistants, do they have people working for them for free, or do they pay people a living wage and actually care about those people? Do they expect people to work for them for free just to have the privilege of being near them? That's messed up stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of that might be obvious. Some of it might not, right?
Yeah, like, you might not notice.
Or it might not be apparent to you, or you might not have access to that information. But if you do, you know, like, you know, sometimes a lot of these, you know, more involved retreats, like they'll have a body worker come in and work on people, or have, you know, other practitioners come in. Like, are they paying people for their time? Are they collaborating? Are they, you know, et cetera. Yeah. Or like whoever owns the retreat center, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other red flags we can think of?
Let's just throw out one that also seems like it should be obvious, but really isn't, because it happens constantly, is that your practitioner should not be having sex with you or making sexual advances toward you, touching you, or talking about your body in any kind of way that's suggestive or making you feel uncomfortable. It should not happen ever, ever, ever. Unless the one caveat is you are specifically going to a sexual healing practitioner who has many years of training, and you have a consensual, you know, agreement of what exactly, like exactly what is going to happen in that kind of work, and you are working on sexual stuff and you know that's what you're going for, and there's consent, there's boundaries, there's agreements, there's a lot of discussion, and there's a lot of awareness of what is and isn't going to happen. And you feel personally that you are empowered enough to be able to stop something if it moves past a level that you feel uncomfortable, that you're able to speak your no, and you're able to practice that with this person. And it, you know, that it can go as slow as you want it to. So that is its own little beast. But over here, if you have a spiritual teacher, they should not be trying to have sex with you. I'm sorry. If you have a coach who's teaching you how to be a coach, or teaching you how to, I don't really care what, personal life coach, business coach, whatever it is, they should not be having sex with you. And if someone gives you medicine, plant medicine, psychedelics, whatever, and they try to have sex with you or touch your body in a way that they should not be, that should never, ever, ever, ever happen. Mm-hmm. Ever. You know, like, there are times when people meet each other in context of a healing agreement, and that happens sometimes, but there should be space away from that container. That container should be closed, you know. The agreement of working together should be completely closed. It should be like, that's not even anywhere near the table before we make a conversation as equals, that we are both feeling this feeling for each other, right? And even then, I mean, I would not have sex with a past client, because it's just not ethical, because there's already an inherent power imbalance that's occurred within our structure of meeting each other.
Yeah. I mean, I get that sometimes it does happen, but like, I'm in the same boat. I would never either. Right. I would never date or have sex with, or be in any kind of intimate relationship with someone who used to be in my container of care. And I don't think I would go the other way on that either. Right. And I have never had an experience of wanting to date anyone that I have worked with professionally, but because of that container of care, right? And it is let's remember, a container of care is a hierarchical relationship. It is. It might feel like, you know, and I get that in some cases there are sort of tricky tricky territory, right? Of like sometimes we can be friends with our clients, right? And yet those are, and I do have clients, you know, I have some apprentices who I've known for years, who have worked with me off and on for, you know, like 8 years at this point. And we know each other through social circumstances. We have a lot of friends in common, and I have had very clear, explicit relationships, or excuse me, conversations with these people about the nuanced nature of our relationship, where we are both 100% on the same page of what is friend container. Again, not dating, but just friend, of like going to get coffee or like doing a friend activity versus what is professional, right? And utmost commitment to maintaining boundaries so that everyone, it feels safe and clear and healthy in regards to that, because when they are in my container of care, it doesn't matter that we are also friends. It is a hierarchical relationship. And
Absolutely.
when, yeah, and so the very clear distinction of when we are friends and getting together for coffee, then I can share how I am and how I'm doing and what's going on. But when we're in this one direction, it's one direction of care. Right, they are not taking care of me. There is zero obligation. There is no zero energy coming this way, other than them paying me. That's the energy that's coming this way. Other than that, is 100% one direction care.
Yeah. And even I can, we already talked about our friend Orion. And you know, Orion and I met, and we met, I mean, you know, kind of as equals, and I came in and did some facilitation for a at-risk men's a group that he was running. And then I invited him to come to ceremony with me, and then he came and did one of my courses. And I mean, we've known each other now for probably 5 or 6 years, and he lives now here in Santa Fe. And so we, you know, we totally get together and hang out and have meals on the weekend, and we're friends, and we you know, really care for each other, and we're good friends. And also, Orion came to my last retreat because he's like, I want to learn this stuff, and I want to do this stuff with you, right? I want to learn these tools for healing, and I want to practice these tools. And so there's a very, there's these, you know, it's, there's a little bit of mess there, right? But it doesn't feel messy. And one of the things, like you're saying, I'm not trying to get anything from him. If he wants to come and come to the retreat and give me money and whatever, whatever. But I'm not like making a move to try to, like, you know, have sex with him or to get him to like do something for me, you know? Like, I guess that's one of, I think that maybe that's one of these essence pieces, is that at the end of the day, I think that you and I really consider myself an ethical practitioner because it's something I strive towards. And maybe I make mistakes because we all do, but that my intention is to really help the people that I come in contact with, not because it's about me, not because I'm trying to feed myself. I mean, I am feeding myself with the money, I guess, but I'm not trying to feed like my, you know, ego, or I'm not trying to like get something. I'm not trying to get something over on someone. I'm not, if somebody, I do consultations with people all the time, and I'm not like, you have to do this or you need this. I'm like, here's what the offer is. If you want to do this, great. And if not, let me give you some other suggestions, or let me, you know, like, let me just, you know, send you off with love and appreciation and give you some, maybe some reflection of what I'm hearing from you or whatever, right? But it's not like, it's that intention of where someone's coming from. And the unfortunate piece is that sometimes we can't see where someone's coming from. We can't see their intention until maybe we've known them for a long time. And then we realize, oh, shit.
Well, that's where the action piece comes in, because it's not only your intention to care for your clients, but that's also what your actions are, right? Like all of your actions of someone coming in to work with you as a client. And you know, I would also consider myself to be an ethical practitioner, not only because of my intention, but because of the actions that I take, where you know we're honoring clients' sovereignty, right? Like even in a sales conversation, I have the same thing. I'm not going to manipulate someone into you know to coming to work with me. I'm not going to sell them you know it's something that either I don't think they need or something that I don't think will help them or that it's not the right fit, right? And I'm going to honor their no, right? Like honoring a client's no is great. Like we respect the no. We give them tools. Don't take credit for their healing. Like that's on them. Like all of the actions and supporting them, it is absolutely the intention to provide care and to be compassionate, but it's the action that translates. And that's where, again, when you're looking at other practitioners, right? Like, you know, look at what are the actions that they're taking, even in a consult with you. Are they overriding your no? Are they trying to sell you into something that you're not really expressing interest in, or you don't really think you need, but they quote know better, and they quote want the best for you, and they quote see your potential, right? Like, are they from the very beginning in a sales conversation, are they trying to separate you from your inner knowing? Or are they trying to connect you to your inner knowing, right?
Sometimes your inner knowing is going to say, this isn't the right time. This isn't the right program, you know? And if someone is really solid in themselves as a practitioner, they'll be like, okay, great. Let me know if it becomes the right time, you know? And I think, you know, what you're saying about this and the actions, the intention, and this desire to support, but also this desire to empower and create a sovereign, free person. You know, people do work with me for many years because they like to, but always my intention and my desire is that they are free people, that at any moment, if somebody says, hey, I'm whatever, going through some stuff, or I want to go study with this person or whatever, like I need, you know, like we're not going to work together for a while. Great. I really want people to grow beyond me. I want people to be so empowered and free and healthy and happy that they don't have any ideas that they need me. Because they don't need me. Nobody needs me. Like, it's actually not a thing. Nobody needs me. I'm super fucking helpful, but like I want anybody who works with me to be like, yeah, I don't actually need that. I am enough in and of myself. And like, I like. You know, maybe I like working with Kat because she's fun. And maybe I like learning new tools. And maybe I like evolving and growing. And this is the container I like to be in because it's good for me. But I would never want anybody to think like this is the only way, or I am the only path, or that they need me.
I mean, you know, my apprentice who I mentioned earlier, who's been working with me off and on for like 8 years or so, I think she's done every single one of my courses and programs, every single one. And, you know, I know she likes working with me, and I love working with her and I support her. And like, she 100% dictates like when she comes in to work with me and when she doesn't. And that's fine. And I mean, you know, within that, like she's within an established container, like we agree upon a container, but you know, she'll kind of say, okay, how about 6 months? And I'll say, all right, great. And so then we do 6 months of work together. She's like, all right, I'm going to take a break for a few months, but I'll let you know when I'm ready to come back. And I'll say, okay. You know, it's, and, you know, I know she works with other people. She does other trainings and it's great. And it makes her a better practitioner, right? And, you know, it helps her in her work and her growth and her direction, which includes some things that I don't do. Yeah, so supporting our clients' sovereignty and freedom is hugely important. You know, you're and another thing, you know, I really appreciate about all of my mentors is that they, you know, are really actually, yeah, that's really interesting to look at. Like every single one of my teachers and mentors that I've had in my life for a long time is deeply, deeply committed to sovereignty. Every single one. And every single one of them is really, you know, that's part of the code that they hold is around sovereignty and freedom and integrity. And so I look at, you know, okay, well, I guess that's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing is like, was I drawn to them because that's also part of my code makeup, or did I receive that in a blueprint from them, or was it both? And I'm sure it's both and, right? You know, but looking at like, what is the, what's the like energetic coding of the people that you're working with? That's blueprinting on you too. Right. And so, and that is in 0% a shamey, blamey thing. If you end up working with someone who turns out to be shitty, like that's not your fault. Right. But looking at, okay, the resonance, you can trust your energetic resonance of who you're drawn to, of like, okay, this, you know, is activating a particular code in me. And what are the words that they're using? How do they talk about themselves? What's the feeling in my body? All of this is, it's essentially like, you're responding to that frequency. So invitation, I just talked about trusting ourselves, right? Go back and listen to the last episode on how to trust yourself, because you know, that's where we'll talk about, or that's where we've talked about a lot of the tools and the techniques and the practices to really anchor in your own inner wisdom and your inner knowing, so that then you can apply that to all of the red flags and the green flags that we've talked about in this episode.
Because especially when you're looking at, you know, narcissists and gaslighting and, you know, just a toxic person, they're counting on you not trusting yourself. They're counting on their ability to slowly, systematically break down your trust of yourself in lots of different ways and different tools and techniques and ways of being. And, you know, maybe through their own bravado of knowing what, you know, what's going to happen in the future, what's happening now, through fear for making you afraid of the outside world that they're going to protect you from in here in your safe little community, through othering other people where there's those people who believe those things, who those muggles who aren't up to our level of consciousness, who can't get to the 5D. And then there's us over here where we are together in this container together. You know, they're slowly eroding that sense of trust of yourself. So really listen to yourself and know that sometimes we make mistakes and it's okay. And that some of these people are so tricky and so proficient at what they do. They're just geniuses, that you can get caught up in it. But I think it's also, from what I've seen, is that if this has happened to you, is that oftentimes this does make you, through this very uncomfortable, painful process, it does empower you at some point where you realize that you can trust yourself and that you were getting signals that you weren't listening to. And it makes you more devoted to listening to the signals of your body and your mind in the future. And it often, you know, sends you down deeper paths of healing and helps you to help others. So if you're in a really uncomfortable place around any of this right now, it will get better. There is healing that can happen, and to see it as a potential towards your empowerment and toward being of service in a way that is of great ethics and great, you know, it's calling you towards something bigger. It's calling you towards a deeper truth within yourself and being a better human being. Because sometimes when we come in contact with the deepest, darkest shadow aspects of someone or a community, we really confront ourselves, and that it does serve a purpose in the end, that we get to arise into a new version of ourselves. And so I hope that you'll start to see it in that way and see the potential in that, and to not allow their shame that they're projecting on you through these things that they're doing to become your shame, because it's not your shame at all.
And scene.
All right.
Beautiful. That was great. I feel fully confident that we can leave it there.
We're going to leave it there.
So many tools, so many awarenesses and practices, and a beautiful closing.
Yeah. And you can find all of our videos on YouTube and Spotify and all the things, all the things. And please comment, please like, please share, please subscribe. It matters a lot. And you can reach out to us, shamansistersessions@gmail.com. You can reach Michelle at, are you still at joyofenergy.com?
Or
you
MichelleHawk.com. I have both.
So you can reach out to us, see our other stuff that we have going on. Michelle, do you have anything coming up that you want to share?
Oh, I do. Yeah. And I just realized we completely forgot to do this on our last episode. That's okay.
That's okay.
I have Becoming an Alchemist, which is a 5-week course beginning in October of 2022, depending on when you're watching this, but it'll happen again probably next fall. But yeah, 5-week course that includes 5 teachings around the core principles of becoming an alchemist and stepping into your identity as a magical practitioner, and also 5 transmission ceremonies where you get to work with different energetic transmissions around alchemy and anchoring in those frequencies. So that'll be super, super fun starting in October. So you can find that on my website, michellehawk.com, Becoming an Alchemist.
And this is, I'll just have to in a plug for Michelle. If you are actually looking for self-empowerment and sovereignty and doing your own work, understanding the underlying nature of what transformation, change, alchemy, and self-actualization is about, this is the place to go. There's so many like actually really bad programs out there that you can invest in. So don't do that. Do something that's really going to lift you up, that like from yourself, I think is what we want you to have.
Thanks, Kat. What do you have going on?
Oh, I don't know what I have going on. I have all kinds of things happening with, I'm doing my Sacred Talisman course right now, which you could still join if you like, and watch the recordings. And I have some new pages on my website for DEPS, which is my psychedelic and plant medicine integration and support work. If you're interested in that work at all, or if you're working towards being a medicine facilitator, if you're doing medicine facilitation work, I work with a lot of medicine people. And also something I'm super excited about right now is I just made a page called support on my website, katherinebird.com, which is about supporting practitioners. So creating custom courses and programs and live experiences for retreats and masterminds and one-on-one work. And I love doing this, and I've never made a page about it. So I'm super excited to have just completed that like a couple of days ago.
Awesome. I really hope people take you up on that, because I mean, you know, this a little plug for Kat here is, you know, you might be an expert at what you do, but none of us are an expert in everything. You meaning like you person who's listening to this, right? So like you person listening might be an expert at what you do, but Kat is an expert in lots of other things that would complement what you do and enhance your work for your clients. So, and I've actually seen and also supported Kat coming into someone else's container for a retreat and offering movement practice, channeling practice, etc. And it is super helpful way to up level the experience for your clients.
Yeah. I come to Michelle's retreats and teach things.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Kat is my go-to support person for up leveling and supporting my clients.
Yeah. And I'm also have some one-on-one mentorship and personal healing sessions available right now. So So I hope you have a beautiful day, week, month, year, whatever is going on. And be sure to check out that episode about trusting yourself. And also there is another episode about spiritual predators. If you're just like absorbed in this topic that we probably did maybe a year ago or more.
Oh, longer than that. Definitely.
Yeah.
It was a while ago. You'll have to dig through the archives. This was also a really long episode. So drink some water, take a break, get up and go for a walk. Let it settle.
All right. Thanks, Michelle.
Bye.